Hey guys, and welcome back to the Paper Courts Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Mawarta, for a special Christmas edition of the podcast. So Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope that all of you who are traveling, that you get to avoid the worst place in the world, LAX, and that your flights go as planned and that weather doesn't keep you from your families. For today's podcast, though, I'm talking with AVP Seattle champion Theo Bruner. And me and Theo will talk about everything from how he got recruited to UC Santa Barbara with a basketball video. Yes, that's right. Todd Rogers, who was an assistant at UC Santa Barbara at the time, recruited him off of a basketball video. We'll talk about winning on the AVP tour, how he almost had to medically retire due to a heart defect, and how he is now back and one of the best blockers on the AVP tour, making a push for the 2020 Olympic Games. Now to that recruiting trip that he had at UC Santa Barbara, where he got recruited off of a basketball video.
I kind of sent in my mom sent in like a video of me playing basketball, and I guess that's what sold Todd Rogers, because Todd Rogers was actually an assistant at the time, and he was just basically saw this basketball video and was like, "Oh, he's a pretty good athlete. Like, let's give him a walk on spot." But yeah, there's something. There's enough out there that I was able to, there's, some guys in my community that I still keep in touch with. They were avid volleyball players. And my dad was a big player. So he kind of played in, the local league. So I kind of was aware of the sport. And then my freshman year of high school, they actually started having, like an official high school team. So maybe there's like, 20 teams or something in the state of Connecticut, and it's a varsity sport and everything. So it was really easy to start playing. So that's kind of how I got my start, is freshman year of high school.
Okay, so now, was basketball the bigger sport for you, though? Because, I mean, it sounds like it, if it was your basketball highlight tape that sold Todd Rogers on your volleyball skills.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually a soccer player for most of my childhood. I kind of played everything, but I never played organized basketball or volleyball until high school. I was soccer, baseball, I guess mostly soccer was my main sport. And then I was all right at basketball. I think I actually could have been pretty good if I, grew up playing it and, took it seriously. But I never really did, so it was kind of easy to switch to volleyball. Because volleyball, I'd been around it for so long. And just being, a tall, athletic kid, I was just, really good without, knowing what I was doing. So it kind of gave me that itch to keep getting better and better. And it paid big dividends. Like, we were able to win a championship I think my senior year of high school, so it was just a lot of fun to play.
What position did you play in high school? Were you an outside?
We weren't that advanced yet where we had, set positions, so we would just kind of rotate around. I didn't really know what, real volleyball looked like until I got to college, pretty much. It was funny, I think I went to a camp at Penn State after my junior year. And people were, diving on the ground for balls. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? why are these people, hurting themselves to get the volleyball? And that was kind of actually my first taste. And then, it was just – so we kind of rotated around. I would hit left, middle, right. But I would pass in the back row. I think my sophomore year, we did a 6-2. And I would set when I was in the back row as well. So, maybe outside hitter, I would pass too. But, kind of hit from all spots.
So it's funny. It sounds like your indoor game in high school, just having to play everything, kind of secretly prepared you for beach, having to practice all those skills and not specializing.
Yeah. For college, I ended up. I regretted it, but yeah. Actually, Todd, when I got to college, he's like, "We think you can play any position. What do you want to play?" And I didn't know any better. I was like, middle blocker, because I knew I could start, my second year, I redshirted my freshman year. And, so I was really good middle, but, I always felt like, I can pass and do all this stuff. Why am I in the middle? So that was kind of unfortunate. And that actually kind of had beach in the back of my mind because of that reason. It was like, all right, the best I can do is, be really good at playing half the game as a middle. And I'd much rather have, a big role on the court and do all the skills. It's just more fun to me that way. So,
was it a little bit of a culture shock coming from Connecticut? Like you said, a state where you had maybe the 20, 25 schools that had volleyball, coming out to California, where volleyball is kind of king out here.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more popular here, especially this like the beach cities, Manhattan, Hermosa. But yeah, it was definitely a shock, just like just how polished everyone was compared to me. Was intimidating at first, that's for sure. And I'd never really heard of anyone else coming from the East Coast and being any good. So actually, my parents like thought it was a bad idea for me to go out there because my dad had like a mythical perspective of California volleyball players and he didn't think I could make the team and stuff like that. So it was a little intimidating, but luckily I had Todd who kind of, I don't know, saw potential in me and was like, you know, don't worry, you're fine. Just take your time and all that stuff.
Did Todd Rogers, did his resume kind of add to that intimidation at all? Because I don't know, what year was this when you enrolled in Santa Barbara? Was he kind of at the peak? Or was he on his way up at the time?
He was on his way up. It was like right about, I think, when he started having success with Sean Scott. So, because actually, I think it was my sophomore year that partway through the season, he ended up quitting coaching because I think he switched and started playing with Dahlhauser and they started dominating. And so, yeah, he quit to pursue beach full time. So it was like right about, it was enough that I had seen him on TV and knew who it was. But yeah, he wasn't quite at the pinnacle yet.
What was your learning curve like at Santa Barbara? Just being surrounded by, like you said, all these guys who had kind of grown up playing beach volleyball and there wasn't a negative stigma, you know, that, you know, out here it's not a girl sport. Whereas, you know, most other states in the country, that's the first thing you think of with volleyball is a girl sport. So I guess what was your learning curve like now that when you were kind of finally thrown into a real legitimate volleyball culture?
Yeah, I mean, first year was tough. But I don't know. Because I just kind of played, like even in high school, I was playing grass tournaments in the summer and stuff like that. So I don't think I was as bad as like I felt when I got there and just seeing everyone. Everyone had like really good technique. They all dove in like a certain way. But I think when it came to the, like actually, you know, jumping and hitting a ball and like being good, not being intimidated by the older players, I was good in that regard. And I was able to, so I was pretty good, you know, my freshman year. Or sorry, I redshirted my freshman year, but my second year when I had my first year of eligibility, I had a pretty good season and everything. I felt like I kind of got into it pretty quickly. And that was just to be, you know, good because I was a pretty good athlete, I guess, for college. But then, yeah, as far as, you know, the actual sport, I feel like I'm just starting to learn a bunch of stuff. So it's like it's really just been a decades-long learning experience, like ever since I got to college up until now. So,
right. And so your transition to beach, I know that indoor players coming from beach, it's almost two completely different sports. I mean, the courts are different sizes, there's different balls, there's different rules. So when did I'm assuming that you kind of played on the beach just during breaks at Santa Barbara. And I guess when did you sort of take over your passion for indoor?
Well, let's see. So, yeah, there was a guy on my team. A libero, Ben Brockman from San Diego. I think he actually lives in Irvine now. And he was, he grew up on the beach. He was a good indoor player, but a very good beach player. And he and I were buddies and he kind of, you know, dragged me out to do a CBVA, like double A, I think. And then we started doing some opens, like, and, I guess I just really quickly was like, oh, this is awesome. So pretty much every summer, we didn't play that much my first few summers. But the last three, we played, you know, the majority of the CBVAs that we could. We didn't really do any AVP qualifiers or anything. I think we entered one and, like, didn't show up or something. Like, we forgot we had entered, something like that. But, but yeah, I kind of knew I liked the sport a lot. And I kind of always planned on, you know, playing indoor, you know, either till the end of college. And then at the end of college, I was like, oh, maybe I'll play pro if I can. But I always kind of planned on transitioning to the beach because I knew I thought I could be pretty good because we had some good results in some of the CBVA opens and I think we won a couple of them. And it's like, oh, this, I could make a lifestyle out of this. Like, it's pretty dang awesome going to the beach and especially Connecticut kids. Like, oh, I get to spend the whole day at the beach and just like play volleyball and it's a thing. So,
and you mentioned that, you know, you looked at it and you're saying, man, I could really make a lifestyle out of this being a Connecticut. kid on the beach, but making a lifestyle out of volleyball and making a living out of it are two very different things. So, what was the risk factor like in pursuing I think I read that you went overseas for indoor for a little bit and then you transitioned to beach full-time professionally. What was that decision like to decide to pursue this sport professionally? I guess, and did you know kind of how, you know, not exactly as stable as the NBA or NFL?
Yeah, so let's see. So, yeah, I was playing indoor for, I think I played 4 full years. And then, so I never thought I would be, like, that good. So I never tried to do the national team or anything like that. I think I played, like, the Pan American Cup for the indoor team, did pretty well. But then I ended up kind of going to the top leagues. I played in Italy for a couple of years, and I was like, oh, I can actually be pretty good and kind of make a living doing this, and, you know, I'll enjoy myself. But then actually in my 5th year, I was in Germany, and we did this, like, routine echocardiogram. I found this, like, kind of a birth defect I had in my heart, and they actually cut my contract. And I, like, quit volleyball, quit sports for a year. The doctors there told me to, you know, stop playing. So I quit, went home to Connecticut, saw a bunch of doctors there. I think after 8 months or so, and I thought I was done. I, like, you know, took the GMAT, was planning on getting an MBA. You know, I actually started a job. And then the doctors told me I was all good and that the German standards are way different. And as long as I, you know, check up on my heart every year, I'm good to go. So then I got in the gym with the national team. But I was having a lot of trouble finding an indoor contract overseas because everyone knew about, like, my heart condition. Don't really want to take a risk. So there were some beach guys actually in the gym in Anaheim. And beach had kind of the ADP had gone up there. So it's kind of like a smaller thing at the time. But there were some guys in there. It was Nick Lucena, I think Jake Gibb and Casey Patterson. And I knew Nick was playing with a small guy, John Hyden. And I think one day I was just like, hey, man, would you ever want to play beach or anything? Like, because I can't, you know, I don't really know if I can get back into the indoor thing. But I would be all in, you know, if you want to play. So it kind of was just, you know, taking a chance like that. And I talked to Nick. I actually went and played a tournament with Dave McKenzie. You know who that is?
Yeah, I know Dave.
So, yeah, he was in the gym, too. He's like, dude, let's go play this beach tournament. I played with Dave. I went out for 2 practices with Nick. And Nick's like, let's fucking do it. Like, let's play all the AVPs. So I just quit the indoor team immediately and played that season. I think it was 2013 with Nick. So it was just like I was just like, shit, this is the best opportunity I'm ever going to get to play beach. Like, I'm just going to quit indoor and go for it. So that's kind of how it happened. It was like a weird but, like, fortunate route for me.
Yeah, that's wild. And how did you go about kind of getting back into the U.S. national pipeline? Because I'm sure that, you know, after kind of having 8 months away from the game, it's not exactly like, you know, they were probably going to call you up and say, hey, you know, you've been on the couch for 8 months, let's bring you back in. So how did you go about kind of getting set back up with them?
Yeah, so I spoke with their coach, John Spry. He had actually coached me on the under-21 national team. I went to the under-21 World Championships, and he was my coach. So I think I emailed him, might have asked him, you know, what the deal was with the team, and that, you know, I, you know, quote-unquote retired, but I was going to come back, and if I could get in the gym. So he invited me in. I guess, you know, my international success, I guess the fact that I was able to, you know, play and be effective in Italy meant that I was like a good enough player to get in the gym. So they let me come in, they gave me a stipend apartment. And I kind of got going in there, but there were so many middles in there and it really wasn't my thing. And I was pretty quickly kind of, you know, trying to find it out. And as soon as I couldn't, you know, I knew I couldn't find a good contract. That's when I started thinking about beach and trying to get in Nick's ear a little bit.
And so when you and Nick started out, because I know that you guys played really well together, what was that first year like getting back on the beach and getting back into it full time? Was it almost like you had just restarted playing volleyball again?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that year was awesome because I got to play with such a good guy in Nick, and I was fortunate enough that we had a lot of success. I think it was much better than I thought I could do in my first year. I think we like maybe made three or four finals, maybe three, and then we won the final tournament. It was just awesome. It was a bunch of months of training really hard. I think the first moment where I was like, oh, like we could be pretty good is we went out and practiced with Jake and Casey and Ben Saxon and Kame Shock, the best Canadian team right now. Uh-huh. We kind of like beat them all pretty good. And I was like, dang, like we could actually do pretty well, maybe even win a tournament. So, yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was just like a dream come true, basically, that first year. And then all my friends and family back in Connecticut were all there kind of rooting for me, watching us when we were on TV and stuff. And it was kind of a nice, like, welcome back after the 8 months with the heart thing, thinking I couldn't play again. So that first year was great.
I'd say so. And when you came back, because I can't imagine that you had a ton of AVP points to your name at that point, did Nick pull you up out of the qualifier, or did you guys have to scrounge around for a little bit?
We were fortunate enough, the AVP gave us a wild card for the first tournament. So I think, I don't know what we were seeded, but not very high. We would have been in the qualifier for sure. So they gave us a wild card. I think we ended up making the semis that tournament, and then we had enough points with Nick's points and my, because at that point, there just wasn't that many. Maybe everyone had like two tournaments that they were hanging on to or something. So by making the semi, it put us in a good enough spot that we were good from there. So I pretty much didn't have to do the qualifier that first year, which was awesome.
That is awesome. And now you had to play a couple earlier, just like in your – I remember you forgot about that one, the first one you signed up for when you were just kind of messing around at UC Santa Barbara. So when you started playing in qualifiers, what were your expectations? Did you – like in your first couple, were you expecting to make it? Or was it just a matter of, hey, you know, the AVP is in town, let's go out and have fun and just kind of see what happens?
Yeah, so the first one I played, I had to do the whole qualifier thing at one point. I think it was between when I was playing in Greece, my first 2 years overseas. I would come back and play with my assistant coach from Santa Barbara, a guy, Aaron Mansfield, who was a really good beach player. He's pretty small, he's like 5'10". But, yeah, we played, two seasons of qualifiers and actually just made it into the main draw finally without having to qualify when the AVP went bankrupt. But my previous partner before that, Ben Brocklin, the guy from college, we did one qualifier together that we showed up to. And it was super, like, yeah, the top qualifier guys were kind of like, oh, shit, they've been in this many main draws. Like, I wonder if we could beat them. But I knew that, you know, we could surprise people and that I was athletic enough to maybe throw some people off their game. And Ben was good enough that we just had like a great defense. And if we could just kind of side out, we'd go all right. But that first tournament, I think I was like so anxious. It might've been Manhattan Beach, actually. I was so anxious the night before, I didn't sleep at all and just played like absolute garbage the first game. Like, I think we like dominated the first set against like a pretty good team. And then I just like completely collapsed and had like jelly legs. It was pretty demoralizing, but I've been real fortunate just qualifying both in AVP and international. I might have only lost like one or two qualification tournaments out of, 20 plus in my career. So I've been super lucky with that.
And in 2013, so, you get this wild card bid to get out of the qualifier, and then you obviously showed that you earned it making the semifinals. What's the difference in mindset going from, oh, crap, I got to play in the qualifier, I got to make sure I'm qualifying, to, now you're in the semifinals and you're automatic main draw, and the main draw guys are looking at you and saying, man, he's really athletic. Lucena has already proved himself for a while. Like, what's the difference in mindset being a qualifier team and a legitimate mainstay on the main draw?
I mean, I don't know. It's definitely, I guess you can say you definitely get a little spoiled when you're in the main draw. Like, it's a lot nicer, and I have a lot of just empathy for people in the qualies and having to struggle and, you know, went to, cause internationally I've had to play a lot of country quotas and a lot of qualifiers. And I know how stressful it is and how hard it is. Like once you do qualify, you're kind of, you know, 3+ matches deep and you're not feeling as good as the other guys are. And it's just a matter of, you got to always be on your game when you're in the qualifier. Main draw, I think you feel like you have a little bit of time to get your game going and find a groove. With this qualification, it's just stressful. Like and I think Casey and I this year might have to play some qualifiers, hopefully just at the start of the year. But, I mean, I feel like it's made me a much better player, like having to deal with that scenario and play so many qualifiers. Because it really is just extremely stressful. You got to be on your game. You can't take any matches off, or you go home with nothing. So it's brutal, and especially when you're trying to make a living out of it, it's unbelievably stressful. So I'd say it's a little bit more easier mentally to be a main draw player.
And there's, you know, AVP qualifiers are one thing, but it's a whole new thing because I know that you and Billy went to Hamburg. In Germany this year, and right after Seattle, and you guys had to go into the qualifier.
Yeah,
and you know,
that might have been
Germany,
like my
right down the road.
that was easily like my proudest accomplishment, or one of the proudest accomplishments in my beach career is Billy and I. Yeah, we won that tournament in Seattle. I think we only made our flight because it got delayed 20 minutes because we won the tournament, got in a bus, got in a van, drove to the airport, and we would have missed the flight, but it got delayed. And then we get to Germany. We have like 10 minutes to check in. We get there, check in, and play the next morning. And that's like, it's one of those things, the day after you travel, you're just not in any kind of condition to be playing volleyball like it. So I was really worried. We ended up having to play, I think, the team that got fifth in the Olympics, the Russian team.
The Russian team?
Yeah, it was, who was it? It was Barsuk and Yarsukins. Barsuk and his big partner, I forget his last name, who was like, you know, the team that you don't want to play in the qualifier. They didn't have a lot of points, but they were beating really good teams. So, yeah, for us to, you know, have such a short turnaround time and get to Germany and win that qualification match was like one of the hardest things I've ever done in the sport, for sure.
That's exactly, Billy said pretty much the exact same thing. I mean, and he said that, I guess, take me through that day in Seattle, too, because from what he said, it was pretty wild. You guys running back and forth from the airport. You know, you guys won the semifinal, sprint to the airport, and come back. And then you win, no celebrating, you're sprinting back to the airport. So just kind of give me your version of the rundown of events there.
Oh, yeah, I think at some point, because Billy, I found out later that day after we won Seattle that Billy had never even been to Europe. So, like, he was not a travel pro at all. And I think, I think his wife had a car. And I was like, you know what? And Rich Lamborn was our coach. I was like, it might be a good idea. Because it was after we won the semis. We had, like, 2 hours till the finals. And I was like, it might be smart to go and check our bags. So we ended up, Janelle, Billy's wife, was kind enough to drive us to the airport. We made it there, checked our luggage, and then made it back. And I think when we got to the finals, like the crowds were warming up. Everyone was like, where are they? Like, are they going to miss the finals? And we just roll up, you know, have a 5-minute warm up and start playing. So, I mean, it was bizarre. It kind of, I think it almost put us at ease because we were like, all right, this is so ridiculous. There's like no pressure on us. We had no warm-up, like, we got to go right after this. And I think it kind of, just put us in, like, a good, relaxed mindset. And it ended up being, like, the best day ever for both of us. So.
And I'm sure that while it puts you in a relaxed mindset against the Crabs in the finals, because, you know, you didn't really have time to be nervous about playing in the finals, did it almost have the reverse effect coming to Germany? And like you said, you're like, traveling across the world is not the most conducive thing for championship level volleyball. And not only that, but you have to play in an FIVB against a Russian Olympic team just to get in. So did the craziness have the reverse effect of kind of making those nerves go up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely nervous, for that. And I think we actually went 3 in the first round of the qualifier against a not very intimidating Austrian team, and kind of had moments where like, shit, we might just lose this first round. but it was kind of, yeah, I just felt like so bad that I was like, this is so difficult to do. I knew I was kind of the veteran, and that, you know, Billy might have to rely on me to kind of, you know, let him know what we should do. So I was kind of on him about like, all right, let's go to the gym. Let's get there early, get a nice solid warm up, all that stuff, like when we should eat and everything. And I don't know. I just tried to kind of assume the leadership role and hope for the best. But yeah, it was one of those things. Like if we had lost, I would have been like, all right, that was a pretty ridiculous situation to put ourselves in. Like, you know, I'm not mad that we lost, but yeah, luckily it worked out. So we were just so jet lagged that we didn't notice.
Yeah. And Billy said that when you guys went about forming your partnership, that, you know, you kind of said international ball is, you know, kind of a mandatory, you know, if we're going to play together. So
yeah.
Why was that so high up on the list? Cause I know a lot of guys, you know, especially, you know, when you're picking a partnership with a guy who's never been to the Frankfurt airport, you know, international ball, that's kind of a tough thing to demand. So why was that so high up on the priority list?
Well, for me, let's see. I mean, I still really want to go to the Olympics. And international, it's like if you stop playing, you lose your points, and it becomes that much harder to get up. So I still had a good amount of points left over from when Nick and I were playing together. So I think it put us in decent spots in the qualifier. And we even, the tournament after Germany, we were in the main draw. So, but it was just important to me. Like, I'm taking it serious. It's pretty much how I make my living. My wife has a job now, luckily. But for a while, it was just me making money on the beach. So I knew, like, if I'm going to keep doing this, I got to keep my points up, keep playing, you know. And then internationally, if you have one good tournament, you can make, you know, a good amount of money and float for the rest, you know, the next bunch of months. It was just important to me. And there's not enough AVP tournaments really to make it like a full-time thing. So, yeah, that was just a big caveat. Because I knew Rosie would do the international. So, but then he had his injury problems, and I didn't know if he'd be able to play. So making that transfer, I needed to make sure that we play all those tournaments and have a chance to make some more money. So.
And you and Billy seemed to have a very good chemistry very early. I mean, you guys really hadn't been playing together all that long, and then you won Seattle. You guys qualified for a bunch internationally. What made you and Billy such a good team?
I think mostly we're both just extremely easygoing people. So I think maybe to really be good this last year, it held us back a little bit because kind of neither of us were like the alpha on the court type thing. But it definitely eased the transition because we didn't get mad at each other ever, I don't think, in a game. And if one of us was struggling, we'd just be like, oh, it's all good, man. Like, just keep doing your thing. So I think that enabled us to come in with a high level, but at the same time, it might have prevented us from doing a little bit better, from having, you know, like a higher ceiling this last year. But yeah, overall, it was awesome playing with Billy. He's like the most fun, easy guy to play with. And he's got the most ridiculous side out game, like with minimal effort that I've ever seen. So.
And with you kind of alluded to it earlier that there's just not enough AVP events with not enough prize money in those AVP events to make a living on the AVP tour. So when you and your wife were kind of having the conversation about just jobs and sort of how you're going to make it work in Southern California, what was that discussion like? Like, was she saying, hey, you might have to pick up a real job or play international?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, but let's see. My first couple of years, 2013 and 14, she was kind of, because she's a Greek citizen, so we were kind of getting in the process of getting her a green card. we got married and all this stuff, but she wasn't really concerned about the finances. So I don't know if she knew how like close we were to me having to do something else. but yeah, it wasn't till so the first couple of years it wasn't a big deal, but then you know she kind of started taking more of a part in finances, knows everything, and at the same time she doesn't really. We're both not like huge California fans, so we're mostly out here for me to play volleyball. So we take a lot more seriously now, as in like to make sure I'm making enough money, and if I'm not, might have to switch paths, and just to make sure that I'm, you know, always on the route upwards and not getting stuck being, you know, like the fourth best team or something like that. So it's something, I don't know. It's been a source of stress, and there's actually been some times like when I was playing with Todd, we weren't having a great year. And I was starting to be like, shit, I'm going to have to find something else to do in the offseason. There's no way I could just play beach. And then, again, like I was fortunate. I think we got a third in Long Beach FIVB, and it was like a bigger money tournament than normal. And there was like a USA Volleyball bonus in the tournament. So we ended up making like $30,000 each like that weekend.
Oh, that weekend.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I can float till next year. So it was always kind of by the skin of my teeth. Like I've been like just successful enough to not have to find something else to do, and then I think everyone else just below me probably has to do something else, and then everyone above me doesn't. So I'm kind of like right on that borderline at the
right.
moment. So yeah.
And how did your partnership with Todd come about? And I guess was it weird because he was the one who recruited you. You know, your mom sent him your video of basketball, and you know he kind of brought you on to Santa Barbara. So how different was it playing with him, not for him, and how did that partnership come about forming?
So after my first year, I had a few options. I think it was Casey Jennings, Todd, and Nick, and I actually decided to play with Nick. Then Nick, I think after a couple of weeks, realized I didn't have enough international points, and he was worried about making money. So he ended up dumping me. So after that, I already had some long conversations with Todd. We knew we got along. He had always kind of joked about playing with me back in college, about, you know, when you get out of college, like, I'll show you how to play, all this stuff. So, and we were already, yeah, we were pretty good friends. It just took a conversation on the phone. He's like, look, I have a lot to offer you. Let's do it. So it's pretty quick. Like after Nick kind of dumped me, I think it was a couple of days, and me and Todd were locked in.
Was it weird? I mean, playing with him, or were you guys like good enough friends, had known each other long enough that playing with him came just as naturally as, you know, playing for him at Santa Barbara?
I mean, it was definitely different. Todd can be kind of like not the best guy to play with sometimes. I don't know. He is like a weird, he's really knowledgeable, and I learned a lot from him, especially observing from how he played. But yeah, it was tough. Like at practices and tournaments sometimes, I think his standard was so high, and I felt like I was so new that I like couldn't possibly meet those standards at the time. So it ended up, there was quite a bit of conflict that year. And we had some really bad tournaments to go along with some really good ones. So, but all in all, it was awesome just sharing the court with him and seeing how seriously he took it and the way he thinks about the game. And it was great. I wouldn't trade it for anything, for sure.
And Todd is with, you know, he's obviously kind of, he officially retired this year, right?
Yeah.
And so we had Rogers and Dahlhauser. You know, who knows how many years he has left in him, and Hyde might play till he's 90, who knows, but
yeah,
you know, he can't have too many more years left. So you kind of have this generation. I mean, you also have Gibb kind of getting up there as well, and Rosie. So you have this generation of almost American volleyball legends kind of on their way out, and then you have, you know, you're 31, right?
Yeah, 31.
So you're 31. You know, then you have the Crabs, the McKibbins, Chase Frischman and Mike Brunsing, and Triborn is already to start
yeah.
making their way up. So do you kind of see yourself
yeah.
as part of this new generation of American volleyball for this next quad coming up?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I all along I was kind of like, I hoped I could squeak into to Rio. I put it at, you know, a less than 50% shot. And then actually, when I was playing with Nick, like a year and a half ago, we actually started doing really well. And he ended up playing with Phil, which kind of screwed me. But we actually had a great shot to go to the Olympics that year. Yeah, so that I always kind of knew that after Rio that it would kind of be my time to shine, and that it would be my – I still feel like it's kind of my spot to earn or to lose as far as, yeah, the, you know, the players above me, Jake and Phil. I don't think Jake's going to make it to Tokyo. Phil, then maybe, but he's getting up there. So, yeah, the door is open, and I just wanted to be in, you know, the best situation possible for this year and the next couple of years to really go for it and, yeah, kind of assume the mantle along with those other young guys like Try and the Crabs. And, yeah, so it's a pretty exciting time for all of us, I think, actually.
And how are you and Casey coming along? Because I know that Casey is obviously a much different partner. I feel like you've had a lot of different personalities. Like you had Billy, who is one of those laid-back guys I've ever talked to. You know, you got Nick, who is pretty fiery. Todd is, you know, he's like a physics professor. And then you got Casey, who, you know, he's definitely one of the more bombastic type. So how did that partnership come about? And I guess how is it kind of going, kind of melding your two personalities?
Yeah, so let's see. So I'd actually been talking with a few people over the course of last year. I had some talks with Try on the off chance that he would want to play D, which he doesn't. And then I talked with Taylor Crabb. He and I had actually been talking for a couple of years about, you know, possibly going for Tokyo. And he and I were actually kind of tentatively going to play together. But then I think Jake approached him, and he went with that, you know, for the experience and everything. So that kind of left Casey open. I think Casey was between maybe me and Try. And I think Try ended up wanting to stay with John. So it just kind of fell into place that way. And then Casey and I are both mutual friends of Casey's coach, Tyler Hildebrand. And that was a big thing for me. I really wanted to work with Tyler for a long time because I just have the utmost respect for kind of his knowledge of the game. And thought he could help take me to the next level. So it was really like as soon as I found out I was playing with Casey and we'd have Tyler coach in, I was just like, kind of like, hell yeah, like, let's go. I have one of the best players in the world, one of the best coaches to help me get better. So yeah, I was nothing but ecstatic as soon as this all came about. Should be great. And yeah, like I was saying before, like me and Billy kind of were both maybe type B personalities. But one good thing about Casey, she's like that fiery presence on the court, which I think is really good for me. But he's also, whereas, you know, Nick and Todd are kind of, they have a tendency to get down on their partners. Casey's like almost the opposite. He might get down on the other team and himself, but he's a really good teammate, actually, which I've been pleasantly surprised to learn. So practices have been great. Like, we both just give everything we have. He's super enthusiastic, makes it really fun. I couldn't be happier with how it's going.
You mentioned Olympics, that I know that you and Nick had a pretty legit shot at Rio. And I'm assuming that your finish in the World Championships, what, that Allison and Bruno beat Neuwirth and Verenhorst, or is that where you guys got third? I forget where it was.
Yeah, it was in the Netherlands.
Okay, I'm assuming that probably helps your point standing a lot. When did Olympics begin to sneak into your mind as a legitimate possibility that, you know, hey, this is something that can happen?
I mean, it was partway through that. Actually, when I got back together with Nick, I knew how good Nick and I could be because the hardest thing on the beach is having a really good defense. All the side out kind of comes over time. But, yeah, I think it's more rare and more effective if you have, like, a good D. So we, right off the bat, had one of the best Ds in the world. So I knew that, you know, we had a good shot at making it. We just had to come. We were the fourth U.S. team in terms of points. So we had to play country quotas. to get into the qualifiers and then qualify to make the main draw. So we had like a real tough route. But I knew, you know, if we could just get in the main draw that we had a good shot. And then, yeah, Phil ended up getting injured. So he and Rosie were out. Jake and Casey were doing well. But then John and Tri did not do great. And then I think we got a bronze in the St. Petersburg, Florida Grand Slam. Then flew to the Netherlands and got fourth in the world champs there. And then I think maybe we took a ninth in Switzerland. We still had to play in the qualifier after those two tournaments because the points didn't catch up, which is crazy. I think we were like the 10 seed or something, but we had to come through the qualifiers. It was bizarre. But so right after that tournament, we actually leapfrogged John and Tri. And I think for the Olympic qualification, we were top 10, and you need to be maybe like top 13, top 14. So everything was looking real good at that point. But then, Nick and Phil ended up getting together, just kind of it's points by team.
Right.
So they had to end up qualifying on their own, which was possible because Phil was just that freaking good. But it kind of left me out of the mix. This was a bummer. But I mean, it made sense to me. Like, I know how good – I'm like Phil's biggest fan, so – and then the opportunity to play with him was like one you couldn't pass up. It was just a bummer that kind of left me high and dry.
And now that you have a partner who has been there, I mean, Casey, you've been to the Olympics.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I haven't talked to Casey to see if he's kind of reevaluated his goals already yet, but I'm assuming that Rio probably left a pretty sour taste in his mouth and that he wants to go back and give it another shot. Have you guys talked about Tokyo 2020
yeah.
and like if this is kind of a four-year partnership commitment?
I think Casey's maybe 37 38. He's getting up there, but I've always thought, like, I think certain guys can make it into 40 and be really good, Casey's a guy, like, he's real good, but he's kind of, as far as moving around and jumping, he's a little bit slower twitch. So I think his game actually can go another number of years. I thought he was easily one of the best players in the world last year. So I always kind of had faith that he could go another route with the proper motivation, which, yeah, I think not making out of pool in Rio is definitely proper motivation. I know it kind of eats away at him still. When we talked, I was like, look, I'm trying to go to Tokyo. I'm all in, like, I'm going to work my ass off, like, we're going to practice this many days a week, I'm going to weight train every day and be in the best shape of my life, and it was kind of like we were speaking the exact same language, she wanted the exact same thing, and that's why, we were able to kind of connect so quickly and get going.
And now, as far as the future of beach volleyball goes, just as a sport in general, so like you said, you pretty much have to go internationally to make a living. Like, if you just look at the numbers for the ABP,
yeah.
And the cost of living in, say, California, it just doesn't doesn't add up.
Yeah.
So what do you see?
Sure.
So what do you see as the future of the sport? I mean, do you think that there is a chance that the ABP can get back to those days where it was, 25, 26, 27 events a year? Or do you think it'll always kind of be just sort of a fringe sport that people, it's almost kind of a professional hobby in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's so hard to say. And the sport's always been, I think, kind of cyclical. Like, it'll get kind of big at various times in the past and then kind of shrink back down. So I think the fact that it does get big sometimes, and the fact that it's so popular in the Olympics, and also a lot of countries throughout the world, let's say, just volleyball in general, and beach volleyball too, is an extremely popular sport. So I think all of us like to think that if properly managed, that there's a path for it to be, a legit sport. And I think there's a good amount of hope. I think the ABP was, I think Donald's doing a pretty good job, and everyone's pretty impressed that every year it's getting a little bit better. I think last year they were maybe breaking even on a few of the tournaments, and a lot of the tournaments were very well attended, and fans seem super into it again. And then on the international side, there's a really good promoter who works with Red Bull, and they're kind of doing their own tournament series. And you know, a lot of people going, a lot of coverage. So yeah, I guess everyone's optimistic, but you never really know with Beach. So I think we're all prepared that any given year it could just all, you know, collapse and we'll have to do something else.
And are you and Casey planning on playing in the FIVB in Fort Lauderdale?
Yes, for sure. And we're crossing our fingers that we'll get a main draw wild card. But we may have to do the qualifier. But, yeah, we'll for sure be there. And we're already starting training because of it. So
That's crazy to me that you guys would be in qualifier. How is that even possible? Because Casey, he has tons of points, obviously. And then, I mean, you did well internationally last year, too.
Yeah, so they have a limit on teams in the main draw. So only three teams from a country can be in the main draw. So Casey and I will have enough points to be in the main draw. But because we're the fourth team from the U.S. right now, I think we're like just barely behind Jake and Taylor. That puts us into the qualifier. So it's one of the unfortunate parts about being on a good national team with a lot of good teams is like sometimes, I mean, it's possible that a U.S. team or like a couple times Nick and I qualified, yeah, and we're like the 10 seed, or like a Brazil team will qualify and yeah, they're 9-10 seed, which is just, you know, it's crazy out of 32 to be a 10 and have to qualify. So that's like one of the drawbacks of the international system, but it's just something you got to deal with.
Well, how often are you guys starting to train? Is it getting pretty regular, or are you kind of easing back into it?
No, I've been going hard. I've been trying to lean up, and then me and Billy actually played our last tournament and trained out in Tobago a few weeks ago. So we were full training for that. I've been in the gym every day, trying to lose a bunch of weight and get as lean as possible. In the last couple of weeks, I've been out maybe three to four times per week practicing. So we're pretty much like full on at the moment.
That will wrap it up for our Paper Courts podcast here with Theo Bruner. And a huge thank you to Theo for joining me here on the pod. A huge thank you, of course, to the listeners for joining me. Have a very Merry Christmas, and I will see y'all in the new year.